three call stories and three responses. Three men living in three different ages, hundreds of years separating them from each other. Three men who hear God's call on their lives and respond. Isaiah, Simon Peter, and Richard Allen. A prophet, a fisherman, and an enslaved man of African descent. What do these three calls have in common? And what do they have in common with our call to serve God? Over the past few weeks, Reverend Barbara and Reverend Melissa and myself have reminded us that God has called each of us by name. Isaiah 43, I have called you by name. You are mine. Do not be afraid. We have been reminded that each of us has a God-given gift to be used for the good of all humanity. A gift that has been activated by the Holy Spirit and is energized and ready to be deployed. And Reverend Melissa last week reminded us that God and history and the world have their eyes on us. How will our call story be remembered? What did Isaiah and Simon Peter and Richard Allen see and hear and experience when God called each of them? Let's take a look at their call stories. There are four reactions or four responses common to all three of these stories. One is amazement at what God or Jesus does or did. Two is a recognition of our sinfulness, our individual sin and the sin of the community. Three is forgiveness, God's forgiveness of each of these men. And four is persistence. And I can't help but say, nevertheless, she persisted, but it's nevertheless, they persisted. They persisted through all the struggles to answer God's command. First, Isaiah's amazement. Isaiah was shaken to the core to see the vision of the divine filling this magnificent temple. Close your eyes a minute and imagine a magnificent temple. Maybe you've been to the cathedral in Washington. Maybe you've been to Notre Dame at one time. But close your eyes and imagine a temple filled with smoke and all these creatures flying around, these seraphs, and a divine whose very clothing spreads out and fills the temple. Truly, it reminds me of some fantasy or maybe some Indiana Jones movie where there's this larger-than-life divine being of some sort confronting these tiny little humans within this huge cave. Scary or jaw-dropping, awe-inspiring moment. And Simon Peter, amazed that Jesus would have the audacity to ask these sleep-deprived, exhausted fishermen to get back out there on the water and do a full day's work again. And then amazed that God would provide this abundant catch. And Richard Allen, amazed that after prayer, he felt chains fall off his body and his soul delighted. Amazed that he had reason to bless my dear Lord, as he says, that a door was opened unexpectedly for him to buy his freedom and enjoy his liberty. Amazed too that God provided numerous times and places for him to preach. I cannot imagine preaching four or five times a day. With what has God amazed you? Number two, sinfulness. Each of these men recognized their sinfulness and perhaps the sinfulness of those around them. Isaiah recognized it in himself. Isaiah recognized it in his people, which were also God's people. Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It was not right, it was not good for a human to look on the divine. One would surely be put to death for having seen the divine. Simon Peter recognized his sinfulness and perhaps that of his fellow fishermen. Rooted in the doubt, when asked, they were asked to go back in the water. But as Peter saw that abundance of the catch, he said, "Go away from me, Jesus. Leave me. I am a sinful man." For he and all who had seen the catch were amazed at the amount of fish that they had caught. And Richard Allen's sins, which he does not describe in his memoirs, tormented him. "My sins were a heavy burden. I was tempted to believe that there was no mercy for me. I cried to the Lord both night and day. One night I thought hell would be my portion." That's tough. What sins do you and I, as individuals and as the church, what sins do we need to be made aware of? Number three is God's forgiveness. Isaiah received a physical manifestation of God's forgiveness when a live coal was placed on his lips by a seraph. Yet when I picture this, that hurts, that's painful. But since this was a vision, maybe it was exactly what Isaiah needed to imagine. It was what was needed for him to see and understand God's love, as heard in the voice of the seraph who said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." As for Simon Peter, Jesus wasn't angry at Peter for his doubt. No, Jesus said to Peter, "Do not be afraid." In fact, during Peter's interactions with Jesus throughout the entirety of Jesus' earthly life, I can see Jesus standing there an awful lot of times and just shaking his head at this impetuous disciple of his, this impetuous Peter who earnestly promises to always be there for Jesus and yet denies him. But through it all, Jesus loved and forgave Peter. In the same manner, God is not angry at us when we have our doubts and misgivings, when our faith wavers. Richard Allen writes of his experience with God's forgiveness this way: "One night I thought hell would be my portion. I cried unto him who delighteth to hear the prayers of a poor sinner. And all of a sudden my dungeon shook. My chains flew off, and glory to God, I cried. My soul was filled. I cried, enough for me. The Savior died. Now my confidence was strengthened that the Lord, for Christ's sake, had heard my prayers and pardoned all of my sins." What words of forgiveness and assurance of God's love do you need to hear? And number four, persistence. Persistence in the struggle. A few verses later in Isaiah 6, a few verses after what Ed read to us earlier, and it's after God had told Isaiah what to say to the people, we find Isaiah asking God, "How long, O Lord, how long must I prophesy to these people?" To which God replies, "Until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land." In other words, continue to prophesy until my people hear my words and obey. In one word, prophesy forever. Simon Peter, impetuous as he was, stayed with Jesus. He persisted in saying he loved Jesus and would follow Jesus. He continued, and even after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, Peter was there to spread the good news of salvation and liberation through Jesus Christ. A persistence that led to Peter's death as a martyr in Rome. And Richard Allen, his call to preach came when he was still enslaved, attending meetings in the forest in Delaware. Arthur Herb Boyd describes Allen's persistence this way, and I apologize, I'm going to read this quote exactly as it is written. There are some words that may offend you and for which I apologize, but I feel it's important to hear them this way. Richard Allen was among the single-minded former slaves who held on to the American dream, even as he challenged the racism endemic in the Methodist Church. When blacks were relegated to the so-called nigger pews at St. George's Church in Philadelphia, Allen and his associates rose from their knees, walked out, and founded their own church, the African Methodist Episcopal, where they could worship without insult. In the struggle from slave to free man, in the struggle from begrudgingly being allowed to worship in a white man's church to founding the African Methodist Episcopal Church, where black women and men and children could freely worship, the Right Reverend Richard Allen persisted in answering God's call to serve God's people. How do you and I find this persistence in the midst of the struggle for justice and peace in this world? Amazement, sinfulness, forgiveness, persistence. May the Holy Spirit help us to experience these things in our lives as individuals and as the church, as we answer yes to God's call on our lives, whatever that call may be. Stay tuned for more on that subject. Amen.